وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly, Mulana Salim Saab. And Ameen to your du'as. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. La tamshi fil ardi maraha. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi gives us a story of Ayyaz and those who were jealous of him. Now, Ayyaz was one of the close courtiers of King Mahmud, and he built a room in which he spread his old leather jacket and torn and tattered clothing, which he wore before becoming a servant of the king. So he used to keep this room locked at all times. Occasionally, he used to enter this room alone. Then, looking at his torn and tattered clothes and his leather jacket, he used to cry. And he would say, "Oh Allah, I am a son of a very poor family. I used to be in this torn and tattered state. These were my clothing, of which today I am so ashamed that I keep it locked up. Not only will I wear it in the presence of others, but I feel ashamed to even show it to others. You know, in fact, now I consider it as an insult to let others come to know about this clothing here." So then he used to address himself and he would say, "Oh Ayyaz, today you are a close courtier of the king. Do not be arrogant and proud of the shine and splendor you enjoy. For in reality you are like these tattered clothing." So the other courtiers and ministers of the king did not know what was in the room. Seeing him entering and leaving this room every day, they started coming to all forms of conclusions and different opinions and ideas about the room and its contents. So one day, all the king's other courtiers, they gathered in one place. They exchanged ideas as to why Ayyaz was going into this room alone and why was he keeping the room locked at all times. So the king loved him and considered him a saintly person. So they thought that Ayyaz was stealing the king's wealth and hiding it in that room. So they thought that if the king was to be informed of the treasure that was being kept in the room, then upon its discovery, Ayyaz would lose his position of nearness to the king. And secondly, if the king was to find the treasure, he would reward these people who were the informers. So hence the result of the mutual consultation was that King Mahmud should be informed of their suspicions. So a delegation from among them went to the king and they told him, the court officials, you know, they mentioned that Ayyaz has got a room in which is hidden gold, silver, and carpets. So this is just an assumption from their side. He does not, an accusation. He does not permit anybody else to enter it and keeps the room locked at all times. So the king listened to them and said, "At midnight, I am going to inspect that room. You all should remain with me during the inspection. Whatever wealth we shall find therein, we'll divide it amongst us." So the king said, "Sorrow upon Ayyaz, that in spite of so much respect and honor that he enjoys from us, he should involve himself in such a despicable act as to hoard gold and silver in secret. Whoever has discovered the life of divine life, the divine love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him it is ingratitude to become involved with beings other than Allah." So the king was very much convinced of the sincere love which Ayyaz had for him, and had full confidence in his honesty. But he mentioned the above words just so that those courtiers can hear it. However, he was actually jeering at the courtiers and making a fool of them. So the king had no mistrust in Ayaz. He only tested the court officials and he played along with them, you know, with the jealous ones. It was impossible that Ayaz could be untrue to the king, because his faithfulness was unlimited. Ayaz was a king amongst kings. In fact, he was a king in the making. It was only for protection against an evil eye that he was called Ayaz. So Sultan Mahmud was aware of his innocence and purity of life, and only to rectify those who envied him that he decided to inspect. So later in the middle of the night, the room was opened. When the court officials could not find anything, they said, the treasure must be under the ground. So then they dug up the room, but still they found nothing in a small room. Everything was quite, everybody was surprised, you know, and distressed as to what excuse they're going to give to the king. And they were worried as to how they were going to save themselves from their false accusations. So finally, in despair, they bit their hands and lips. And like women, they put their hands on their heads in shame. They all came before the king and they said, whatever punishment you wish to mete out to us, we are prepared to accept. We deserve such punishment. But if you pardon us, it will be good, for you are the king of grace. So the king said, whatever judgment or verdict Ayaz will give, that will be our judgment. Because you people have tried to defame Ayaz and his good name and honor. So therefore, I shall not pass any judgment. I'll leave it to Ayaz. So he further said, oh Ayaz, please pass judgment on these evil mongers, for you were innocent of their accusations and completely loyal. Oh Ayaz, from your test and trial, numerous people are ashamed and full of grief. Now listen to Ayaz's good fortune, his annihilated self, and his morals of love. Ayaz said, O king, all sovereignty and rule is fitting for you. It is your kindness that this honor Ayaz enjoys. I am a mere slave. How can a star show its light in the presence of the sun? Whether it's Venus or Mercury or whether it is a shooting star, how can any of these show their existence in the presence of the sun? So the king, hearing this, became quite pleased. And he replied, O Ayaz, your high-mindedness has caused serfdom to be granted light. And your light has speedily moved from down here to the stars. O Ayaz, your bondage has reached that rank which is the envy of freedom. For you have done your duty to bondage and acquired the true life. To this Ayaz, he replied, this high-mindedness is your gift and the result of the blessings of your company, O King. Otherwise, I am that slave of lowly rank who initially appeared before you in tattered clothes and a leather jacket. O you listener, your tattered clothing is a clot of blood, and your leather jacket is the blood of menstruation. Apart from that, everything else you possess is a gift from Allah. So in this story now, Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah is teaching the lesson of annihilation, to annihilate oneself. So Ayaz was granted many favors by the king, and in spite of that honor, in order to save himself from arrogance and pride, he used to go and see his tattered clothing and his old leather jacket in that room, and he used to advise himself. He said, oh Ayaz, this is your reality. Be not proud of your position of nearness to the king. In the same way, the seekers after Allah in this path, they should at all times keep their reality in front of their eyes. They should remember their humble beginnings, as Allah reminds us. We have created man from a clot. The origin of man is that he is created from the father's sperm and the mother's blood of menstruation. Apart from all that, man's inner and outer gifts are bounties from Allah. So we must realize what our beginning was. No matter what high rank Allah grants any man, the fact still remains that he is created from the sperm of his father and the menstrual blood of his mother. The mere thought of this should be a protection and salvation against arrogance. Man should at all times keep this thought in mind, that he was created in the womb of his mother, then he was created clear, he was granted sight by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hearing, reasoning and understanding. So who was the one who granted these gifts? Certainly Allah. So a certain saintly man was once crossing the road, and he happened to accidentally bump against an arrogant, proud person. The saintly person, due to his old age, his eyesight was weak. So the arrogant one asked him very proudly, oh blind one, can you not see? Do you not know who I am? So this old saintly man replied, "I know fully well who you are. If you want, I shall explain it to you who you are." So the man said, "All right, tell me." So the saintly man said, "Life consists of three times, past, present, and future. As for the past, you are your father's unclean sperm mixed with the menstrual blood of your mother. As for the present, your abdomen contains feces and is filled with urine. And as for the future, you will be a stinking, rotten corpse that will be buried in the graveyard." So this is your reality. This is everybody's reality. So pride and arrogance is quite common amongst foolish and stupid ones. So, but if one just uses his reason, he will discover that arrogance is definitely not befitting for man. In the Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Pride is my cloak, my covering, and whoever enters it, I shall break his neck." So this is the reality of takabbur and pride. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from pride, grant us humility, and always remember our humble beginnings. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.